Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. The Moist Line is tomorrow. All right, so tomorrow during the 5 o'clock hour, we play those calls as we do every week. You can still leave a message through the iHeartRadio app using the microphone icon, or you can call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. You know, years ago, really not that long ago, remember the Porter Ranch gas leak that we covered? We actually went up there and did a show. Yeah. Anyway, we had a city council member come on the show and actually appear on our show numerous times over the years, Mitch Englander. And apparently the legal world is not done with him yet. Now, Mitch Englander got into a little trouble for, taking trips to Las Vegas and Palm Springs with a developer, a businessman, a developer, city staffers and others. And he was accepting gifts like hotel rooms, bottle service. I guess that means they bring you alcohol at a nightclub. There was an envelope containing cash, dinner, drinks, women. At a restaurant. Eventually, the feds caught up with them.
There were women involved, too.
And, I don't see that in this story. I thought there was in the original story that there was something about women offered. But this story,
you don't go to a club and drink all that booze unless you can share it with somebody.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. So he eventually pled guilty in July of 2020, after the FBI caught up with them. And again, we have Jose Huizar. We're still waiting for that trial, but this is the corrupt city council. To falsifying material facts, he got 14 months in prison. So he ends up last year going to federal prison in Tucson. He ended up in Long Beach in a reentry facility in October, and he was released from custody earlier this year. But he's back in the news again because he has to fork over a whole lot of money. He has to pay $80,000 in fines because, you see, he didn't disclose the gifts he got from the businessmen that included, as I mentioned, the hotel rooms.
Oh, so not only he got jail.
Bottle service, the alcohol, the envelope containing cash, and dinner and drinks at a restaurant.
Yeah, I just found it. It was he was hooked up with a female escort in Las Vegas.
Oh, you did find that story?
Yes, okay. Yeah, it's in all the... Yeah, so he got cash, he got a hooker, he got gambling chips, $34,000 in bottle service, because you go into a club and they bring you the most expensive booze and champagne.
Yeah, this is a high roller kind of thing.
Yeah, and one dinner was $2,481. I mean, that girl must have eaten a lot. She must have been hungry.
Yeah, and again, like a lot of corrupt city stories. This is all about developers getting their way with whatever kind of housing project or business building they want to build in downtown LA, usually, or somewhere. Well,
you see,
this would have been probably Englander's district, which is in the valley.
How disgusting the city has become. And Mitch Englander is one of the reasons. Because instead of cleaning up all the vagrants laying half dead in the streets and getting the criminals put in prison, what's he doing? He's a criminal himself. Partying up in Las Vegas with all the booze and the party girls, the hookers.
Vegas and Palm Springs.
In order to get some money from some slimy, oily developer. Great. Thanks for your service. Really, thank you for your public service. That's why when I hear these guys go, oh, you know, as a public servant. Yeah, I wish I could put together all the pompous speeches I'm sure Mitch Englander gave about the nobleness of public service and how he has sacrificed for the good of the community. Blech.
Well, he's done with his prison time, but now the City Ethics Commission caught up with him because, you know, taking all those poker chips and alcohol and hotel rooms, why, he exceeded the city's gift limit.
Yes, you know, apparently there...
He did not disclose the gifts.
There's a limit of 3 hookers in any quarter.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
It's in the code?
It's in the code, yeah. There's a certain amount, a certain number of gambling chips you can accept, certain number of hookers, certain number of champagne bottles. And he just went crazy here.
Well, they said... All in all, he took more than $20,000 in gifts, but now he's been hit with a near $80,000 penalty, including fines, penalties.
Yeah.
So that didn't work out too well.
It's just hysterical that he's nabbed for violating the gift limit, not the bribe limit, right?
Well, no, the bribe limit got him the prison time. That was the federal case.
I know, but it's just
funny. But somebody in the city said, well, we still have to go after him for the ethical gift violation, right?
I love he's got some attorney, excuse me, Gary Winnick. And while the entire situation has been difficult for Mr. Englander and his family, you're trying to get sympathy from us? Guy went out of his way to take the bribes and go to Las Vegas and bed down the hooker, but we're supposed to feel for he and his family. Winnick said that Englander has been rebuilding his life by volunteering with a local reentry program. Now, what is that? What the hell is a local reentry program?
Well, if you read the second part of the sentence, I think you can figure it out. Continuing his commitment to public service by helping others put their lives on the right track. So supposedly he's volunteering with one of those, you know, people that just got out of prison and they're trying to figure out what to do with their lives. He probably goes in there and says, well, you know, I used to be a councilman.
What's he going to tell them?
Don't accept poker chips and drinks and
his commitment
hotel
to,
rooms and
that's what I'm saying. All the pompous speeches these guys give, his commitment to public service. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
His commitment to what's in his pants. That's the only commitment he made.
He did, and by the way, he did plea in the federal case. He pled guilty to falsifying facts.
And I am pissed he used our program to polish his image. I'm really pissed about that. He came on because he was trying to show that he was concerned about the residents of Porter Ranch because they were inhaling all the toxic gases.
He
coming
came to
from,
the scene when we were there. Remember, we went up there and did the show. He was there.
Oh no, he was sitting right next to us. Remember,
yeah,
we had our little broadcast set up, and he was sitting right between.
It's rare that
and
we had anybody on the city council we could ever talk to. I can think of 3. Like Dennis Zine might be another one, but
right. Of course, you know, we got the guy they actually caught.
Well, there's now been Jose Huizar, there's been other city council, but now possibly Mark Ridley Thomas. He used to be on the council. Well, actually on the council, but was on the Board of Supervisors at the time of his corruption. So it isn't just people we talk to, but yeah.
It's hard to keep track, isn't it?
The Ethics Commission said he violated a law that prohibits someone from misusing a public office position for private advantage, for obtaining gifts that exceeded the gift limit, and for keeping the gifts secret. They came out with $20,413.50.
Yeah.
And the, now, Vegas bottle service was estimated at $1,700.
Was the hooker charged as a gift?
I don't see the hooker listed in this story.
She wasn't in the itemization?
Well, I can see from the photos, Mitch is a married man, so I hope that didn't create problems.
I think that creates a problem.
The question now is, does he have $80,000 to hand over? I haven't been working for a few years.
He's in the reentry program.
He's volunteering in the reentry program. That doesn't pay.
Which is not really a good term for the crimes he's committed. Reentry. That's not.
Trying to rebuild his life. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
You know, we devoted time to that story. I'll have to tune in and see if there's an update. Bryce Laspisa. Remember that guy?
Oh, who was he?
He disappeared from school or something, right? And as that promo from Steve just said, they found his car with some blood in it, but they never found him. That's at least 10 years ago, isn't it?
Seems like it.
Steve is doing an unsolved update and says there might be an update to.
Yeah, he was that redheaded kid. We talked to his mother.
Yeah, we think we did. Didn't it get ugly?
No.
Oh, I thought it did because we were wondering if Bryce was more like he wanted to disappear. That was one of your theories that he just decided, I want to go off the map, off the grid.
Yeah, I don't think I brought that up to her, though. I wouldn't do
something
that.
Happened. Was it maybe another family member emailed the show or something? Because
somebody got offended by it. Yeah,
that we would speculate in that direction. But
there's a limited.
If he hasn't shown up, and they have, far as I know, they haven't found a body or anything. So very weird. Were they from Orange County? I believe they were.
He was driving home from college in Northern California. Pulled over to the side of the road. And
he had just been on the cell phone, I think, with a family member, too.
And disappeared, and they found his car.
Or he texted to say, I'm coming, I'll be there in such and time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they found his car, but they didn't find him.
So Steve's got a show coming up, or he's got something in the news today?
It's Steve's show called Unsolved. Have you heard of it?
No, I know that. He just did a
promo. It's this weekend.
This weekend.
Yes.
Well, send him in here. I want a private...
He wants you to listen to his show. You don't want to squeeze it out of him now.
I won't do it on the air. I just want to find out personally.
Oh, you
personally.
Won't do it on the air. Okay.
Yeah.
For your own personal...
Right.
So you don't have to tune in Saturday? Or...
I'm tied up.
Okay. Sorry about that.
You're tied up?
I'm tied up, yes.
It's timed out.
That's what we do on Saturdays.
All right. Okay.
All right.
You and Ray with his porn tied up.
Yeah, they're going to watch Octomom and tie each other up. Wow. Well, we weren't just talking about Mitch Englander. And, of course, the former city councilman did go to prison for being involved in what looked like a bribe situation with a developer. And we had mentioned in the story that there were some women involved being offered. The reason we're bringing that to this story is that we could have another first in the United States along the same lines as I just hinted at. We have strippers at a topless bar in North Hollywood who have filed a petition to become a union. And if so, they would be the only unionized strippers in all of the United States. Isn't that exciting? Now, the term that I think is preferred is exotic dancer.
No, see, it depends.
I think people in the profession don't want to be called strippers.
Yeah, but...
It sounds like they do painting jobs.
There's nothing exotic about what these women do. They just take off their clothes.
Adult ballerina.
An adult ballerina.
Wow, that's a really creative one. If the National Labor Relations Board grants the petition, this is a place called Star Garden Topless Dive Bar. That's a nice name. The Star Garden Topless Dive Bar.
Ray, have you
Hollywood.
Been to that one?
Oh, has Ray been to that one? North Hollywood's not far from Burbank.
That's what I'm saying. 50-50 chance he's been there.
Their bargaining unit would be affiliated with, it actually would be affiliated with the Actors Equity Association.
Uh-huh. Sure.
The National Labor Union that represents more than 51,000 professional actors and stage managers employed in live theater. So that's pretty good association.
If
they get the petition granted. Here's what they say. Strippers are live entertainers, and while some aspects of their job are unique, they have much in common with other equity members who dance for a living. You see? There you go. They want health insurance. They want benefits like workers' comp. Oh, yeah, a lot of things can happen with a stripper on the job.
Well, you could get a sprain.
You could be damaged easily. You could misstep, or you could have a guy that gets a little handsy. They need protection from sex harassment. Oh, boy, that's a tough one.
Good luck.
Discrimination and unjust termination.
Yeah, that's what I read in another story. It was one of the main issues that at this particular joint, the customers were just always out of hand. And, you know, they want...
But don't they believe they that's part of the show?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here.
Well, there have to be limits and rules.
They're usually...
You get a drunk guy in there with a pile of pills.
It depends on the level of sophistication of the club.
I see.
You know, some higher-end clubs, you know, there's a definite no-touch rule. On the low end, it's anything goes.
Mm.
You pay money, you end up in a back room.
Do you still stuff dollar bills into?
I'm sure they do.
Or maybe it's probably more like a $5
bill. Dollar's just going to get them mad.
$100 bills?
Yeah, I'd start at least minimum 20s, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, the union that we're talking about, this Actors Equity, they're affiliated with the AFL-CIO. So they actually, I like the way they describe this, we applaud their efforts to seize their collective power and unionize, like so many other across the country who are fed up with toxic workplaces.
There you go.
Well, I would say if you work at a strip club, yeah, that has the potential to be a very toxic workplace. The kind of guys that come in there.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't work in a strip club if you don't like the atmosphere. You don't.
But I mean, Too, and the woke culture didn't drive those away. See, they're still around.
Well, no, because men are still men. Yeah. You know, they can do all they want to try to rewire human nature. They will fail when it comes to everything. At the end of all this, these weird trends and these strange social obsessions, women will still be women and men will still be men. And the same desires will always
be there
and we will express them.
So the bar's at 6630 Lancashire. So if you want to go after work and check it out.
Yeah, I've never been there.
You know, in 1996, there were strippers at a club in San Francisco that did organize the Exotic Dancers Union. But guess what? The Lusty Lady, which was the name of the club, it closed in 2013. So that's why we don't have any stripper union people now. It's the only club.
No, I mean, the logic behind it is solid. I mean, you know, of course, they're entertainers, just like any other group of entertainers, and legally they're allowed to unionize. It's just
and so. By the way, they were picketing outside the club in March. Unsafe working conditions. They had the help of Strippers United, an organization that advocates for strippers' rights. So. They said they were not protected from threatening and abusive behavior by patrons. And that's why they picketed, and now they're moving towards being a union.
Maybe you should get a job, you know, in retail.
In a different environment. That
exactly.
Doesn't
I don't
this
know.
Kind of,
are they actually shocked that this goes on? What do they think this is about here?
Well, nobody should be subject to abusive behavior, even if they're in a job that seems to invite that.
Well, thank you. Were you chairman for People of a Perfect World? I mean,
there you go. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
It really is. Let's go back into the past on the John and Ken Show day. After 4 o'clock, remember the road diets of 2017? The one that was beaten back down in the Playa del Rey area. That's the one where we actually did the shows there. That was a Mike Bonin project, and it was a very valuable commuting route for many people in the South Bay. That got knocked down to one lane. We got rid of that road diet, but the other one we were trying to fight was on Venice Boulevard. And that one actually had started earlier than the one down in Vista Del Mar. And it's less than a mile, but we're getting word that they want to increase the road diet to 4.5 miles from Lincoln Boulevard to National Boulevard, Venice, in the Venice Boulevard road diet. So we'll talk about it after the news. At 4 o'clock, returning to the show is John Russo, the co-founder and director of Keep LA Moving, / Keep the U.S. Moving. They expanded into an even bigger movement to try to fight these road diets, and they were very effective in beating the one that we talked about down at Vista Del Mar. So we'll find what this is all about coming up after the news at 4 o'clock. Deborah Mark, I heard you mention the safe story. Yesterday, we had mentioned on the show that up on Mulholland, in one of those scenic view areas, they had found a couple of very large safes that they had to haul out of the brush. The fire department came and lugged them up. And you know what it turned out that they were? Gun safes. So not too exciting.
Oh, no
just
bodies?
To store guns.
No, no body parts in there?
No, and no. And I don't even think it was for money or gold bars. It was just for gun storage.
Oh.
Would you really put bodies in a safe? Body parts?
Yeah, I think that's what the mob does.
Wow.
Well, they put them in barrels and threw them into Lake Mead, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
But a safe? Oh.
Actually, I think I have heard of that, yes.
Wow.
Because if they lock you up in there, you ain't getting out.
Mm. Oh, just chop you into dead. Pieces. And
It's heavy enough to sink, too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so I think it's a good... It's
well, she's
a,
worried because she could fit in a safe.
I could.
Yeah,
let's not give anybody any ideas.
They wouldn't have to chop her up, you're saying.
Well, that would be good. I don't want to be chopped up.
She'd fit in a barrel, too.
All right, let's change the subject, guys.
Ways to dispose.
Nobody wants to come near me since I have the fingernail fungus.
Takeout box. All right, so we mentioned this story the other day, and there is an update. This is one that's probably going to go to the United States Supreme Court. Effective in the spring of 2023 in the Minneapolis Public School District, teachers who were members of, quote, populations underrepresented among licensed teachers in the district could be exempt from district-wide layoffs outside of seniority order, what we call the traditional last-in, first-out system. I mean, we can start with the fact that that's awful in the first place. That we have a profession that supposedly is important as being a teacher where you're not judged on merit. It's just last in, first out.
Because it's not really that important. If it was important, you wouldn't have, you would be judged on merit. But if you're judged on seniority, it means that the teachers in these unions don't think the job is that special. It's just a matter of showing up every day until you get tenure protection.
They decide to cast their lot together for all their pay and benefits. That's what you get. You're going to get a... layoff procedure that's based on seniority. So what they did here in this agreement is that they don't have to do the seniority thing. And what they can do, they can exempt the teachers who apparently have less seniority but are in underrepresented groups, such as maybe being Black or Latino, or they pointed out in the story, Native American. Apparently they have a shortage of Native American teachers.
In other words, you fire the white teachers first.
Yes, and you see what I think what they looked at. The problem is... and since everybody's had this awakening, they realized they didn't have enough teachers of color, so they began to recruit them. But the problem is, they'll be the first to go if you have a seniority system.
It's not an awakening. It's bullying is all it is. It's racial intimidation and bullying. Period. That's the and it's unconstitutional, illegal, and will never happen. It'll get thrown out in 5 minutes after it's taken to court. This must be just massive virtue signaling here.
Yeah, I don't see it. They think this could not only constitute discrimination itself, it could even violate the 14th Amendment. There's an attorney in Minneapolis named James Dickey who said he's already gotten a flood of emails from taxpayers and teachers in Minneapolis who can't believe this.
There is not a single jurisdiction in the United States where you can fire people based on their color. There's nowhere you can get away with that legally. Impossible. It violates the United States Constitution.
Well, they're going to say, no, we're trying to retain people based on their color.
I don't care what cockamamie whack job argument their slime ball lawyers come up with. It is flat out not permitted, period. Just this is not even worth debating. It's never going to happen.
65% of students who attend the Minneapolis public schools are people of color. Only 30% of the teaching staff were.
Your color has nothing to do with how well you teach. You talk about an irrelevancy. Color has nothing to do. Ethnicity has nothing to do with it.
Well,
and there's no such thing as being able to proportionally represent all groups in all jobs. That has never happened in the history of the United States and never will. So this is beyond absurd and silly. I don't know what words to use to describe this. It's just this weird fetish. It is like a fetish. It's just this bizarre obsession. People keep repeating it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, they claim that it's a step towards dismantling discriminatory systems in education. So they're claiming that the Minneapolis public schools wouldn't hire people of color because they're racist? Can you prove that?
No, no, it depends who shows up and applies. And it depends what their credentials
right, and
are.
Certain professions do attract certain, often ethnic or racial groups. They just sometimes do.
And the cities have a lot of minority kids because the schools are free. And the schools generally stink. So if you've got some money, you go to a private school or you move to a wealthier suburb. I mean that's why the schools end up being as segregated as they do.
They're gonna prepare themselves to defend this because most legal analysts think there will be a challenge as soon as, because it doesn't take effect until next year.
They'll lose immediately.
So you got to wait till they trigger it.
It's not going to have to be.
I think the first person that gets laid off, even though they've got more seniority, is going to say, oh, no.
Well, of course. So it's just going to be, if it goes that far, it's just going to be a huge waste of money. You won't even have to build much of a legal fund. The case just simply wouldn't last long. Even if you got the
depends on how much they want to try to defend it and how far they drag it out.
Even if you got the wackiest judge in the world, an appeals court would kill it. Ultimately, it would just be a waste of time. And maybe this is a chance to give politically connected lawyers a lot of money. Maybe that's the scam here. There's absolutely no legal merit to this at all.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, 9 years ago, missing man found dead, locked inside a gun safe.
Oh.
Yeah, that's guy went missing. And they conducted a search warrant at his house, and he was trapped inside his own gun safe.
Oh, it wasn't a murder.
At the moment they wrote this story, they did not have it listed as a murder, just as a death. And they were going to do an autopsy and
no update.
See, but I don't know if this guy climbed in. He was cold, maybe.
Oh. He was cold, so he climbed into the gun safe and accidentally locked himself in.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that to me, make sure I'm dead first. Imagine burying somebody alive in a gun safe that they can't get out.
Oh, yeah. How creepy is that, huh? The claustrophobia?
All right. Road Diets returned to the John and Ken Show. We reported on this one when it happened back in 2017. It's on Venice Boulevard, and it's still there. But it's less than a mile. However, we apparently have learned from our sources and our guest that's coming up after 4 that the L.A. Department of Transportation wants to extend it to 4.5 miles along Venice Boulevard all the way from Lincoln to National. And apparently they're making up numbers again about lives they've saved and lives that have been taken without road diets. So,
they lie constantly. The city lies, the Department of Transportation, Mike Bonnet, they all lie with hysterical false stats. This is the fakest of fake news, is when they try to come up with fake accident stats to justify. And the word road diet really doesn't do justice. They shut down lanes. And they create massive traffic jams for normal people because they have their goal is to make driving so miserable that you'll give it up. Not that there's anything to replace it with for most people. They're going to try to force you to surrender and give up your car. They have been trying for almost 50 years to do this, and they have failed.
To show you that while we have a bad criminal justice system in the county and the state, there are places that are just as screwy. This is a big story out of New York City. It was front page news because naturally in this day and age, there's video. There's a guy by the name of, what a name, Bui Van Phu, 55-year-old man from the Bronx, who apparently knocked another man unconscious outside of a restaurant. It was like on the sidewalk. The guy was just standing there, and Fu comes up from behind and just clocks him. The man apparently had severe injuries. He's in a coma with a fractured skull. The update is that Fu has only been charged with a misdemeanor, and he's free on bail. They initially were thinking about attempted murder charges. Duh. But apparently the judge in the case, and this is in the Bronx, it isn't that New York DA that we've mentioned a few times, this is a Bronx DA, apparently has reduced the case to a misdemeanor assault.
They've got video on the New York Post site
Oh, yeah.
And you see how he smashes the guy with his fist in the side of his face.
Oh, he just cold cocked him from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And the guy just flops to the sidewalk.
The attacker was standing behind this guy with his hands behind his back. And then suddenly he rears back and just smashes him with his fist. And then he starts shouting. So he looks like he's a crazy drug addict, you know, mental patient.
Third degree assault and second degree harassment. And the first thing you might think, well, maybe he's got no criminal record. Oh, well, yeah. He's a registered sex offender, convicted in 1995 of sex abuse, spent 6 years in prison with lifetime parole. So
he's 55 years old.
Yeah, he apparently raped a 17-year-old girl at gunpoint.
Oh, come on. How do you ever get out of jail for that?
Back in 1994, he was released in March of 2019.
So he's a complete psycho.
Yep, he apparently walks out of a restaurant in the Bronx, puts on a pair of gloves, and then just punches this guy in the back of the head.
Isn't this crazy? Isn't this crazy that there are so many prosecutors, district attorneys who believe in this now, that anything can go, no matter how brutal the attack is?
Yeah, what I can't tell, is he like homeless? Are they trying to do like the stupid diversion thing that they do?
It's all BS. It's all nonsense. There's nothing to divert. Here, he's a psycho. Look at it. I mean, he's raping teenage girls.
He apparently was talking to his parole officer after this happened, and he said, I don't know if he's dead. The police are looking for me. I was at the restaurant, and I know the police are looking for me.
You know what happens is these guys get weird surges inside them, and they just burst out.
Just
a spasm
violent.
Of violence. Yeah, it's violence for the sake of violence, because they feel this overwhelming desire to smash something. And this guy was standing there with a looking away, and he never knew what was coming. Wow. What a scary world this is.
What are the
and they let him out right away.
Psycho reasons to reduce it to a misdemeanor assault?
Yeah, it's like the DA is a crazier psycho than this guy.
He's got a fractured skull. I don't know.
He's got bleeding in the
criminals is unbelievable.
Is it sympathy or is it really they're trying to do something? Is there some end game here that we just don't want to accept because it seems too frightening and too crazy to say it out loud? What's the end game here for this crowd? What are the cities going to turn into?
All right, the road diet may get even bigger on the West Side, Venice Boulevard. We'll talk about it next.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.